Brother Carlton has selected for his lesson, "Unless ye become as little children, unless ye become as little children." Brother Carlton.
Thank you, Brother Bob and Brother Ray, for those words that we all needed so much. And as Brother Ray has brought to you the love of Portland, he said, "Half, we'll bring you the other half." We all love you very dearly, and all there desire their love to be sent to you here. Many are here, those that are not asked specially to be remembered to you. We are indeed grateful to be here. It always is a blessing to be in Seattle and to renew the fellowship of those we've known for many, many years, and to visit with new ones and get to know them and love them as dearly as we have of you that we've known for many years. And this year we're very, very blessed, Sister Catherine and I, because we have our oldest son and his wife and two grandchildren with us, and that has cheered our heart to see their desire to seek after the Lord in His righteousness. Our Lord gave many small lessons. And I don't want to minimize that word small, because really, no lesson that He gave is really small. But He gave many illustrations in the 3.5 years that He was on the earth. And one of them was on the subject of humility. And we've all become acquainted with this word, and like Brother Ray said about forgiveness, humility in many ways does not come easy, and we need to learn this lesson as well as that of forgiveness. We begin our reading from Mark, the 9th chapter, verses 33 and 34. "And he came to Capernaum, and being in a house, he asked them," that's his disciples, "what was it that you disputed among yourselves by the way? But they held their peace, for by the way they had disputed among themselves who should be greatest." And then from Matthew 18, from our theme text, verses 2 to 4, "And Jesus called a little child unto him, and he set him in the midst, and he said unto them, Unless ye be converted as little children, ye shall not enter into the kingdom of heaven. For whosoever shall humble himself as this little child, the same will be greatest in the kingdom of heaven." One of this greatest lessons that I personally have had to learn over the years has been this lesson of humility. You know, when Jesus began his call, he didn't call the great, the mighty, the rich. No, he called those of the humbler walks, those who had this condition to start with that he could make something of. They had come from such menial jobs, as we would think of them, and I do not mean to give you the thought that we should look down on these jobs, such as fishermen, tax collectors, and so forth. But they weren't the great jobs. But this lesson of humility to those that he called should have made an impression upon their characters almost immediately. But you know, it wasn't long, but what the old nature of maturity, that of ambition and pride began to take sway in their hearts. They had been with the Lord. They had viewed His miracles. They had been told of the coming glory to them if they would follow Him. And this all began to take its toll. We're told that when He sent them out, that they came back and they said, even the demons obey us. And you know, it must have been almost, to use a term, a head sweller to Peter and James and John when Jesus invited them up on the mount and He was transfigured before them. You know, Peter said, Lord, it's good that we're here with You. Why don't You let us make You three tabernacles, one for Yourself and one for Moses and Elijah? Humility, says Spurgeon, is to have a right estimation of oneself. Now, when we think of humility, perhaps we think of it in a one-sided way. But listen to this. A right estimation of oneself is not to think less of himself than he ought. No, the higher a man is in grace, the lower he should become in his own self-esteem. And another has written, he that places himself neither higher nor lower than he ought to exercises the element of true humility. You know, there is a truism, as it says, in the book of Psalms, the 30th chapter, and you're all acquainted with this. It's in Proverbs, not Psalms, the 30th chapter. Verse 8. This is the balance that is intended. We read, remove far from me vanity and lies. Give me neither poverty. Now get this. Give me neither poverty nor riches. Feed me with food convenient for me. Here's a true balance. And humility runs the same way. We neither place ourselves higher or lower than we ought. The opposite, of course, of this humility is pride. And the root of pride is selfishness. That is, selfishness, says Webster, is having such a regard for one's own self, interest, and advantage that happiness and welfare of others becomes of less concern than is commended or that is right or just. You know, on this page of selfishness, I noticed a list of words that start with self. And it was rather interesting. But get some of these words and think upon them. Self-interest. Self-confidence. Self-help. Self-importance. Self-indulgence. Self-living. Self. One had come to the Master, and the Master had given that great lesson on selling all you have and giving it to the poor and so forth, and the rich one went away. And he gave this lesson on being that not many should be rich and what it can do for one, and selling all and giving their all to the Lord, and it made an impression with the Apostle Peter. And so when he got the Lord alone, he said to him, "Lord, we've given up all to follow thee. What shall we get?" Is that the way you and I feel when we gave up our all for the Lord? I'm not sure that that was what was on my mind. Maybe it was when I first consecrated. I don't know. I did want to be with the Lord. I did want to be in heaven. I did want to see the Heavenly Father and meet all the apostles and so forth. Yes, I did that. The Lord said, "No one who has given up father, mother, children, lands for my sake in this life now would receive 100-fold and in the age to come eternal life." That's the answer. And so when we become as little children, we want to remember that only if we do this will we get that position of honor and praise that is held out for us. But why did our Lord Jesus? You know, little children loved Jesus. They must have ran after him and around him and wanted to be around him all the time. There was something about Jesus that attracted them, just like the crowds. Although the crowds probably attracted him for a different reason, because they saw the miracles that he did. The healing of the dead, the raising of the dead, and the healing of their sicknesses and so forth. Perhaps a lot of that was on their mind. Little children wouldn't have that on their mind. No, but they recognized something in Jesus. And we know at once the disciples said, "Send him away." And he said, "No, forbid them not. For such is the kingdom of heaven." What makes up a traits of a child that Jesus wants to inculcate this lesson to us? Well, there were so many, I couldn't even begin to go through them in 30 minutes. So I'm just going to give you a few to think on. A child is simple of heart. He's innocent and he's harmless. With children, there is no desire to be great. Oh, they play games. We all did. But with adults, there is a propensity to play act, to have a veneer, an outward show, a false front, but not with children. Children, have you ever sat in a group of children or away from a group of children and watched them? Just watch them. Children come into the world, my dear brethren, free from ambition. If they learn or if they get pride, it's because they've learned it from others. From those teachers, pride and ambition, that is what will come naturally if that's what's taught to them. However, if the reverse is taught, humility and simplicity of action, then a proper balance of character will be built. Yes, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is mature, he will not depart from it. Proverbs 22:6. It is well known that early training secures habitual walking therein. This necessitates yielding. Our Lord was of this type, for we read of him in Matthew, the 11th chapter, that he was of a lowly heart. "Seek after me, I am meek and lowly of heart." Yes. And we believe this is why the children sought Jesus out. He was straightforward. Children have a tendency, by watching others, to imitate them. Proverbs 20:11. Even a child is known by his doings, whether his work is pure and whether it is right. By observing our Lord, we as God's children, what are we imitating? Are we imitating Jesus and His actions? Paul said, "Be followers of me, even as I am of Christ." 1 Corinthians 11:1. How we're being taught daily by every action, by every thought, determines whether we will be classified as obedient children or disobedient children. It really determines our whole life. A child is also ready to acknowledge its lack of wisdom. Oh, we think we know so much. Especially if some of us who've been in the truth a long time, pretty soon we get to thinking that we really know the plan of the ages. And sometimes we get caught up too. We remember Solomon when he was made king over Israel. He was of this humble opinion of himself, at least at first, and it's something that we can all take acknowledge of. For he says in 1 Kings 3:7 and 9, "I now, O Lord my God, thou hast made thy servant king instead of David my father." And he says, "I am but a little child." He says, "I don't even know how to go out or come in. And thy servant is in the midst of a people which thou hast chosen, a great people, and cannot be numbered for multitude. Give therefore thy servant an understanding heart to judge thy people, that I may discern between good and bad, for who is able to judge so great a people?" I don't know how to go out or come in. We do not want to ever get the thought that we are actually literally to be returned to childhood. That's not the thought, and we know that you know it's not the thought. The thought is that we must be childlike in our demeanor, one with the other and with our Heavenly Father. Are we like Solomon? We need to ask. Do we acknowledge daily our lack of wisdom? Do we think of ourselves as only little children dependent upon the Lord to guide us? James 1:5 tells us that if any lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth all to all liberally, and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. A little child, rightly disposed, seeks instruction. We know that Solomon was not a child, but his opinion of himself was childlike, humble, meek, teachable. In the opening book of Proverbs, we find instruction worthy of all of those seeking after the Heavenly Father. To know wisdom and instruction, to perceive the words of understanding, to receive the instruction of wisdom, justice, and judgment, and equity, and to give subtlety, that is, prudence, to the simple, that is, the open-minded, to the young, knowledge and discretion. Why? Because a wise man will hear and will increase his learning, and a man of understanding will attain unto wise counsels. And again in Proverbs 4:1, "Children, hear the instructions of a father and attend to no understanding." Proverbs 13:1, "A wise son hears his father's instructions, but a scorner hears nothing but rebuke." A child has an all-confiding trust. Webster says of trust, "a firm belief or confidence based upon another person or thing, faith, reliance." And when we think of this, a child really has no reason to doubt the honesty of another unless shown indisputably that that one is trustworthy. Unfortunately, we as mature adults, I use that word mature in the way that it should be used, I hope, are not this way. We do not trust like a child. The children of God must first learn to develop faith and confidence in God and in His Word, and then to have this same dependency or this same confidence and trust in others. We've heard it said that we would rather be wrong 100 times than to accuse someone falsely once. But do we? Do we trust another in this childlike way? You know, even the disciples who had been with the Lord, all of them didn't have this confidence and trust, this all-abiding faith in Jesus and in His Word, even though they had been with Him and seen all of His miracles. No, they didn't. They had a show-me-first attitude. Thomas had that. He said, "Except I see in his hands the print of the nails and put my hand in his side, I will not believe." And this comes from John 20:25. And yet in John 11:16, it had been Thomas who had been told of Lazarus' death and that the Lord Jesus was going to raise him up who said, "Let's go with him that we may die also." But when Jesus died, where was Thomas's faith? Now, we don't want to think of faith as a blind faith or trust. No, faith that is not built upon confidence will be poor at best. Thomas had been with the Lord. You and I have been with the Lord. He'd been with the other 11. He had seen miracle after miracle. He had heard Jesus say he must die and be raised the third day. Thomas and all of the Lord's people should have had more than just a shallow faith and confidence. They should have had a childlike dependence and faith and should have taken God at His word. Because a poor faith or no faith is displeasing to God, Hebrews 11:6. Psalms 18:2, "The Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer, the God of my strength, in whom will I trust? Yes, He's my buckler and the horn of my salvation in my high tower." That's the kind of faith. That's the kind of trust we need. Are we little in our opinion and in our trust? Little, that is, in our own estimation. Now, again, we go back to where we have to have that right balance. But are we little in our own estimation of ourselves and our abilities? We have to get to that point where we believe that others, like ourselves, will do what they say. An Italian statesman, Benito Cavour, said, "The man who trusts men will make fewer mistakes than he who distrusts them." Now, if we're like a child, we'll develop that kind of faith. But a deep trust and faith is like the American clergyman Horace Bushnell said. He said, "We must trust God for great things." Because, he said, "With your 5 loaves and 2 fishes, He'll show you a way to feed thousands." Are we obedient children? Little children are obedient children. "Ah," says one, "but not all children are obedient." That's true. We know that. It depends upon environment, it depends upon background, and it depends upon training. Little children, on the other hand, little children
And that word little comes from another word, a Greek word meaning infants. Depends, they begin very innocently. We have the greatest computer in the world right here. And as a little child, it starts out empty. And everything it hears, everything it sees, and everything it does, every action is recorded. To realize that the traits we learn as a child must be unlearned, some traits have to be unlearned, not fashioning ourselves according to former lusts in our ignorance, the Greek, meaning children of obedience, children to whom obedience is their characteristic and ruling nature. We must put away those old things, wipe them out, and start over. Put off your former nature, called the old man, which is corrupt because of deceitful lusts, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind by putting on the new man. If we go back to a childlike nature and fill ourselves with the Heavenly Father and His words, then we will put on the new man. The last we're going to say is that of guilelessness. This is, a little child is guilelessness, has no guile at all. Guile means to be crafty or deceitful. Evidently, those mature have a certain measure of guile. We read in 1 Peter 2, 1 and 2, wherefore, laying aside all malice and all guile and hypocrisy and envies and evil speakings, as newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word, that ye may grow thereby. My dear brethren, our Lord is bringing the illustration of a little child to the attention of these self-seeking disciples, and He was bringing it to the attention of every one of us. None shall enter God's kingdom who cannot or will not become childlike in heart, in their acknowledgement of a lack of wisdom and a needing to be taught, and who does not have an abiding and confident trust, and in whom there is no guile. Yes, we must remember this lesson. Be kindly affectioned one to another with brotherly love, and in honor preferring one another. And let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind esteeming others better than themselves. Except you be converted, that is, turn completely around, and become as little children, you shall not enter into the kingdom of heaven. The Lord help us to do this.
Thank you, Brother Carlton, for another lesson that each of us needs. Humility. We are to be clothed with humility before we can serve the Lord. For He resisteth the proud and gives grace to the humble.
Our loving Heavenly Father, again we come before Thy throne of grace, so thankful for this day of blessings, to be with Thy dear children, to have the fellowship that only You have made possible, dear Father, through the shed blood of our dearest Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We're thankful for the words of life and do ask that You continue to keep us under Thy care and guidance. Help us as we go forth into the further sessions of this convention to imbibe the Spirit that is here into our hearts and make us more childlike, dear Father, and more receptive to those things, and help us to build a character which would be pleasing in Thy sight. We're thankful for this opportunity of meeting together, and we're thankful for providing for us not only the spiritual gifts, but the temporal gifts also. And so now, as we go forth into the evening meal, we would ask a blessing upon the food that shall be served to us, and bless the hands that prepared it. And, dear Father, we continue to pray that thy will shall be done for all of thy dear children everywhere, and that you would forgive us where in anything we might have said or done amiss. And now be with our fellowship and in the further sessions of this convention. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen.